Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Meseches Sota has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel Le'iloi Nishmas, Feivel Yosef ben Chaim Leib and Yehuda Zev ben Feivel Yosef.
Meseches Sota, Daf Tes Zayin. The Gemara at the very top of the Omer Aleph brings the Rosha of Isi ben Yehuda, who discusses the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us about the Ofor that you have to take from the karaka of the Mishkan and put into the Mayim, the water of the Meisoito. In the Loshana Pasuk, Umin ha'ofor ashe yihye bekarka ha'mishkan, yikach ha'koy hein v'nosan el ha'moyim. So from the Ofor that's going to be in the karaka of the Mishkan, the floor of the Mishkan, the Kohen takes some of that Ofor and puts it into the water. And as Rashi explains, Yisrael ben Yehuda was going with the idea that the word karaka ha'mishkan is superfluous, it's miyosar, and therefore he darshins from these extra words, karaka HaMishkan, that is Lerabois Karka Shiloi Noiv Vigivoin Ubeis Elom. So that we're marba not just the Karka of the Mishkan in the Midbar, the 40 years in the Midbar, but also the Mishkan of Shiloi of Noiv and Givoin, which was after it was in Shiloi and Beis Elom, which is the Beis HaMikdash that's forever on the Harabayas, that's called Beis HaElohim. So all of those Mekoyimos on this Rabbah from an extra Ribbon, and I shouldn't just think that the Pasuk is talking only about the Mishkan of the 40 years in the desert, but also Marba, the Karaka of the Mishkan in Shiloh, Noiv, and Givoin, and in Beis HaElohim. That's the Girsa that we have in the Gemara. Rashi, over here, takes out both Shiloh and Noiv and Givoin, and Rashi attributes this to the Girsa of the Sifri, which Rashi says that the Sifri only has Lerabois, Isa ben Yehuda is being Marba, the karaka of the Beis HaElohim. And Rashi explains why he wants to take out the girsa of Shiloh and Noiv HaGivoin and prefers the girsa of the Sifri. So Rashi says, as far as Shiloh goes, Shiloh was a Mishkan Gomur. It was a complete Mishkan, hold the dinim of a Mishkan. There's no reason why it would have even required a Riboy at all. So you don't need a Riboy. It's automatically included in Karka HaMishkan. As far as Noiv HaGivoin, Rashi says, so in Noiv HaGivoin, Zok Rashi, they were not even Mashkin Bosoitois. During those years, in between Shiloh and the Beis HaElohim, during those years, the Mishkan was in Noiv HaGivoin. In fact, there was no Hashkoyas HaSoito, Zok Rashi, because, in fact, it didn't have a din of a complete Mizbeach Gomor. It was only a Bomo Havoy, V'loy Hoyo Shom Oroin. In fact, the Oroin wasn't there, right? This was something that we know that's important for our discussion, that during those years in Noiv HaGivoin, the Oroin was separate, disassociated from the Mishkan, right? The Oroin was captured by the Plishtim at the time of the Churban Shiloh, and then, afterwards, the Mishkan moved, it was set up in Noiv, and then it was set up in Givoin after the killing of Noiv HaKoyanim through Shaul. So it was set up again in Givoin. And during that time of Noiv HaGivoin, the Oroin, even though the Plishtim eventually had to give it back, like the Pesukim speak of in Shmuel, it was not reconnected and not placed back into the Mishkan. So during the Noiv HaGivoin years, the Oroin was not in the Mishkan. There was no Oroin, Zok Rashi, therefore the Mizbeach was not a complete din Mizbeach, it was only a Bama Gedoyla, and it had lesser dinim, and there was not Mashke Soitois. In fact, says Rashi, they didn't bring any Choivas Yochid She'en Kavu Elohim Zman. And this is a sugi at the end of Zvochen that Rashi is alluding to, that in the Bama's Tzibor of Noiv HaGivoin, they did not bring even any private korban at all. It didn't have Zman Kavua, and did not bring a Mincha Soita as well. Therefore, there's no point in being Marbeh Noiv HaGivoin in this Gemara, because there was no Ashkoa Soita in Noiv HaGivoin. Therefore, Rashi says the correct Gisa is they were only being Marbeh the Beis Elohim. The emes is that on both of these points Rashi makes here, both regarding the Noiv HaGivoin, that it can't be in the Gemara because there was no Ashkoa Soita, both regarding the Shiloi, that it can't be in the Gemara, Rashi says, because it wouldn't be necessary to have any drosha to be marbit, it's automatically included in the Mishkan. On both of these, we find in Rishonim over here at Fanort that they disagree with this. They take issue with it. Tosis, in the very top of the Zayin Amar Aleph, Tosis says that it's not necessary at all to take out the Moichek, the Noivin given from the Gemara, based upon Rashi's Kasha, that it was only a Bama Gedoyla in Noivin given, and there was no Choyvas Yochid, that's not Kavuas Man, a Choyvas have an individual obligation of a korban that doesn't have a set time. They didn't bring any chayvus yochid that's not kavul as man, including a mincha saita. That's what Rashi's moichik. The Taisa says, what's the problem? We could always say that Isa ben Yehuda in our sugya goes like Rabbi Yehuda shita in the last paragraph of Vachim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you did bring korbanos hayochid even in noiv givoin, even in the bama gedayla. So you brought korbanos hayochid. Perhaps Isa ben Yehuda is going like that, and that's why we're being marve noiv and given. As we'll see, the Meiri over here is Goyris Shiloh. He doesn't have any problem. He does not believe in Rashi's problem that Shiloh doesn't need a riboy. And the Meiri is Mavur over here that the Mishkan that was in Shiloh was not a so-called true 100% Mishkan. The Meiri speaks of, and we'll talk perhaps about it a little later, that Shiloh, he says, had a sort of composite between the Mishkan of the Beis HaMikdash. As the Meforshim explained, the Gemara says in Zvachim that Shiloh was sort of a compromise. It had a bias Avon Lamata, the Yirios Lamayla. In other words, it had stone walls, unlike the Mishkan, which had portable walls, Kroshim. But it did have, the Mishkan in Shiloh did have the Yirios Lamayla. So therefore, it's not exactly the same as the Mishkan, and therefore, consequently, the Meiri understands that our Gemara does need to have a riboy to Marbe, the Mishkan Shiloh. We'll get into some of these points in Mitzvah Hashem coming up. But what's Negea here to discuss is to say over what the Tosfos Yeshonim and Yuma Daf Memdalid gets into a discussion. Tosfos Yeshonim and Yuma talks about our sugya, and he gets into the discussion of the Marbe, the Noivin Givoin, and the Beis Olamim, that the Gemara brings the Riboy. So the Tosfos Yeshonim over there raises the question, if Yitaka do hold, like Tosfos holds over here, that Noivin Givoin do belong in the sugya, and we're going like the Manda Omar, that Noivin Givoin did have Krovois of Kobonas Yochid, and therefore Mechasoita could be offered there as well. If that's the case, what makes Noiv V'Givoin anything less, anything weaker than a regular Mishkan? That's what it was. It was a Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't Noiv, the Mishkan wasn't Givoin. You could offer private Kobonas, you could offer a Mechasoita. If that's the case, why is there a need for a Riboy altogether? Why don't you just say it's automatically included in the Pshuta Shemikra, in the Karak, the offer, the Karak of the Mishkan? Well, who says you need a Riboy altogether to be Marve, the Mishkan of Noiv and Givoin, that you could do the offer there, the Hashkoas Meisoita there, and the Tais Yishonim over there explains that that's not a question, because when the Torah speaks of Karka HaMishkan, the Pshuta Shemikra, the simple reading, is that the Torah is speaking of the so-called Mishkan Mamish, a true Mishkan, Shehu Oimed B'Kedushasoy Kimishpotoy. We're going to focus on those words in Mitzvah Hashem. Oimed B'Kedushasoy Kimishpotoy. In other words, that the Mishkan that it speaks of, the Mishkan of the 40 years in the Midbar, the Pshuta Shemikra, is talking about a Mishkan that has the full-fledged Kedusha and all the rules of the Mishkan, which means that's what he says, that the Oren is located in the Beis Kodesh HaKodshim. That's what makes a true Kedusha and a true Kimish Potoy of a Mishkan. Right, that's the Pesukim of Avur, that the Oren was disassociated from the Mishkan while the Mishkan was in Noiv and then in Givoin. The Oren, even after the Plishtim gave it back, it was located in Kiryas Yorim. It wasn't in the Mishkan, so the Mishkan wasn't B'Kedushas HaKimish Potoy. It did not have the true 100% the true Kedusha, and therefore consequently I certainly do need a pasuk, says the Tosfos Yeshonim, to marbe noiv and givoin for the offer b'karka mishkan and to mashke the meisoita. The Emet says that this yesoid, that what was lacking in the Mishkan of Noiv and Givoin, or made it shvach, so to speak, is the fact that the Oren wasn't located over there. This is actually a fundamental idea that there are a number of Mayim Akemis for it. We'll just go through some of the discussion briefly, just quickly, to get the sense of it, because this is an important point. The Meshech Chochma, in the beginning of Parashas Pekudei, speaks of the Pasuk, Eila Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEidus, HaShepukad Alpi Moshe. The Mishkan HaEidus is the Mishkan that has the Oren with the Luchos HaEidus in it, and the Meshech Chochma over there has a brief piece, a shtickle there, that he says that the idea of referring to the Mishkan as a Mishkan HaEidus is like this, Sokhter. Emas hu nechshav l'oil moed. When is the Mishkan a true oil moed, a true Mishkan? To Aser Bomoyed, because as you know, the Bomoyed were Aser while I had it, when I had a true Mishkan, the Mishkan of 40 years in the Midbar, the Bomoyed, private Bomoyed were Aser to offer Kabbanis on. When the Mishkan was in Shiloh, private Kabbanis were Aser to offer Kabbanis. Noiv given with the Shas had the Bomoyed. So on that, the Meshech Chochma explains that's Mishkan HaEidus. That's when Kishayesh Boy HaOroin. That's when the Oren was there. That's why it's called Mishkan HaEidus. And he brings it to Sefta in Masechta Zvachim, that Eizu Hubama Gedoyla, what would be a lacking of a Mishkan when the Mizbeach is only called a Bama Gedoyla, that's when Oil Moyad not a Gedarkoi Ve'ein Ha'oroi Nosoin Shom. If the Oren isn't there, that's what makes it lacking, and that's when it's only a Bama Gedoyla, and that's when it doesn't have the Koyach to ask for the private backyard Bama. So that's what you had in Noivin Given. The Yushalmi follows a similar approach. He really says almost the same thing as at the Sefta. The Yushalmi in the first Perek of Megillah. The Yushalmi over there also says that that which creates a true, full-fledged Mishkan, that can asa, the koyach to asa the Bomois Yochid, that you can't have private backyard Bomois, is the fact that the Yushalmi liked at the Sefta that the Oroin is located in the Kodesh Kochim. In fact, the Yushalmi has an interesting thing. The Yushalmi even asks, Boy, Kumi Rabbi Yossi, the Yushalmi says that it was asked in front of Rabbi Yossi, in other words, let's say the Mishkan is located in Mishkan Shiloh. The Mishkan is in Shiloh. But what happens if they took the Oroin out temporarily, which is actually what happened? They like the Psukim Mavur, they went to the Mechom against the Plish, and they took the Oroin out temporarily. So the Oroin is presently temporarily dislocated from its usual spot in the Kodesh Kodshim. And even there, the Yushalmi has a suffix, and it's sad to say that maybe automatically the Boma is Yochid become Torah. It's not a magic thing. The Mishkan is located in Shiloh, and all of a sudden the Bomas are also. It's not that. Rather, it's the fact that the Oren is located in Koimoi. That gives the true Toikef and the Koyach to the Mishkan. Then it can ask the Bomois. You take out the Oren, even temporarily, there's a tzad in the Yushalmi that the Bomois become Mutter. So, the Taisi Yishonim in Yuma tells us that what makes Noivin Given weak, what makes it Shvach, what makes us require a Riboy to tell you that you can take the offer from the Karka HaMishkan and Noivin Given, is the fact that the Oren wasn't there in the Mishkan and Noivin Given, and therefore it's lacking in what he refers to as Bikdushasoi and Kimishpotoi. Yibengev Kamenetsky, in the Emes Liyankev, the Sefer on Yuma over there, writes that he thinks that this Lashon of the Taisi Yishonim is actually very schwer. He says, you're going to really tell me, Zok, there, that lacking in Oroin makes it that it's not Bikdushosai Kimishpotoi Zokter. So Rabbi Yankiv says, if you're going to say about that, if that's true, so how is it that Yoshio HaMelech, near the very end of the Tkufa of the Bayas HaRishon, he hid away the Oroin and he took it out of its regular spot and he put it and he hid it away in a hidden location? How could it be, Zokter Rabbi Yankiv, if you really believe that that's going to mafkia the Shlemus of the Kedushas HaMikdosh, that now the Beis HaMikdosh doesn't have a full Kedusha anymore because now the Oroin isn't from Koimoi? He says, how could anybody believe that Yeshua would have been goynes and taken away Lahedya from the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash to be goynes the Oren? It's impossible to accept that, Zokter. Same thing by Hasheni, which did not have an Oren. The Oren was hidden away the whole time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Are you going to say that the Beis HaMikdash wasn't Kedushah Seikim Mishpatah? Could such a thing be? It wasn't a true Beis HaMikdash. It was just almost like a small bomb or something. So Yankov says, how could such a thing possibly be? And it says Tamua to accept that, although that would seem to be what emerges in Tais Yeshanim. The moment there's no Oren B'mkoymoy, it's lacking Kedushasik and Mishpotai. So Bianchev says an answer that Be'emes, the truth is it's from Kramat Muchrach, that you really have to learn that way. So Bianchev's answer is that there's a chiluk, Zokter, once you get to the Beis HaMikdash, the final resting spot of Hashem, the Beis Olamim, so that the Mokoim is Neskadesh B'Kedushas Kodesh HaKodshim, which, by the way, there are Achrona discusses as well. There's something called Kedushas HaMokoim. In Noivin Given, there wasn't a special Mokoim that was a special designated to be located at the Mokoim, or the Mokoim of Hashem. Some speak out that the Noivin Given didn't have a Shem of Mokoim HaShayivchar Hashem, the Psukim speak of. It wasn't Mokoim HaShayivchar Hashem, it just happened to be that the Mishkan had to be located in that spot or in a different spot. Shenkin, you got the base of Lom, the Mokom was in the Skadish, but Etzem, to have a Kedusha of Kodesh Kodshim, so the Mokom has an intrinsic Kedusha of the Kedusha, so Orem, regardless of whether the Orem happens to be located there, or it happens to be not located there. That's why in the base of Lom, there's no longer any kind of a Dion. I'm not going to determine whether it has a true Kedusha based upon whether the Orem happens to be located there, because if the Orem is not there, the Mokom is intrinsically consecrated as a Kedusha of the Mokom HaOrem. It's only in Noivin Given and the like, in the earlier Mokomis of the Mishkan, so there, the Mokom didn't have the intrinsic Kedushas HaMokom of the Oren, and that's why over there I had to determine how, to what extent, I had a true Kedushas HaMikdosh, a Kedushas HaMishkan, and that was determined based upon whether the Oren was located there or not. In fact, there is in the Sefer Teiras HaKodesh a somewhat similar vort to explain another Nekuda in the Sugya. I mentioned before that the Meiri says, contrary to Rashi, that he could defend that we need a special ribui to barba in the offer Hashayir Bekaraka HaMishkon, so it's Marba Shiloh in Noiv given Beis Olamim. So Rashi says this word Shiloh is an incorrect girsa because Shiloh was a Mishkan Gomor and there's no reason whatsoever to need any kind of a ribui. The Meiri, however, says no, that he learns that Shiloh is in the Gemara. and need the ribui because shiloi, what kind of a combined elements of Mishkan and Beis HaMikdash Zamin, and therefore the Meiri understands that it's not a regular true Mishkan Gomor, so consequently I need a ribui to mar b'shiloi. The Teretz HaKodesh says, you know, is it just the building materials, you know, shiloi had, it had avonim u'mata, like we said before, then you realize l'mailo. So that's what it is, because the buildings that happen to be that you use stones, is that really going to shaft a whole different yesoid into Kedusha, so that the Kedusha of the Mishkan Shilo is going to be somehow undish, going to be somehow different? The Torah HaKodesh understands that in reality, the real yesoid of the chilak between Shiloh and the Mishkan in the Midbar is Zokter, that we find that Shiloh has, in addition to the Kedushas HaMikdash, there's the Kedushas Mokam HaMikdash. And he said that's something which you find by Shiloh, and you find by Beis Olam, by the two of them, they have a Kedushas HaMokam. In fact, we have, there's a whole din on this actually, that these two, Shiloh and Beis Olam, are referred to as Mokam Asher Yivchar Hashem. And according to most, there was in fact a mitzvah, this is, seems to come out of Chazal, there was a mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, Cholosh Palam Bashana, by both Shiloh and also by the Beis Olam and the Beis HaMikdash, because those are the Koimois that had a label of to go up to Mokam Asher Yivchar Hashem. In fact, there's a different rate on this in Parashas Re'eh. It speaks of the Pesukim, speak of how you're going to live far away from the Beis HaMikdash, and you'll travel regularly. L'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama v'haveisim shama l'chechem v'zuchechem. As Chazal, and the Chazals understand that that pasuk is a reference to the Aliyah L'regel. It doesn't say it black and white. Say be L'regel regularly. L'shichnoi sidrishu, to his resting spot. You'll search it out. Uvasa shama, and you go over there. The Chazal say on that, and Rashi speaks about it. Rashi brings in the Chumash. The Chazal, l'shichnoi sidrishu zeh shiloi. In other words, l'shichnoi sidrishu, the resting spot. That's a reference to shiloi, and it's still, it says Basa Shama Vaveisen Shama. Chazal understand to be a reference to the Aliyah Regel. The Chazal in Cheskel, among others, the Chazal in Cheskel in Chagiga, the first parak of the Sefta, says that this is a Mara Mokum, where we find that Shiloh is labeled a Mokum as a Yivchar Hashem. That's what he says, and he says that's what comes out of the Pshut Hashem Mikra, as Chazal understand it in the Pesukim in Re'eh, that Shiloh is a spot that Shichnoi Sidush, the Ibis, chose to rest over there. That's called Mokum as a Yivchar Hashem, just like the Beit HaMikdash, as a mitzvah of Aliyah Regel three times a year to there. So the Teretz HaKodesh says over here that what separated, what differentiated the Mishkan Shiloh from the Mishkan of the Midbar, according to the Meiri, that's saying it needs a special ribui, contrary to Rashi, who erases the Gusa here. So that is, according to the HaKodesh, it wasn't stam the fact that it was the walls were avonim. The fact that the walls are avonim is more of a giloy. In other words, this is more of a permanent binyan, a more permanent structure. The Mishkan of the Midbar was an impermanent structure. The walls were just kroshim and the roof was yirios. Once you get to Shiloh, it's already a semi permanent structure. The walls are, it's a bias of onam l'mato, because the Mishkan has a yachas directly at shaykh to the mokom. The mokom is an intrinsic mokom of a yivchar Hashem that the Ebrister selected. It's a mokom that has intrinsic kedushas and mokom, and that's what the Teretz HaKodesh says, what differentiates Shiloh from the Mishkan of the Midbar. The Mishkan of the Midbar just has a kedusha of the binyan, kedushas machitza, as he calls it, masha'ein kain. The Mishkan of Shiloh, in addition to that, also had the kedushas and mokom, which differentiates, makes it more than just ordinary, the regular Mishkan. And that's why the Meiri is understanding that we have to marbe in this sugya Mishkan Shiloh also, that it has a din to take offer from the karka and to place it into the Mei Soita. As we mentioned before, Toisis over here, the top Toisis, takes issue with Rashi, who says that you have to erase the Girsa of Noiv and Givoin from this Gemara. You can't be Girish in the Sugyo, according to Rashi, that you take offer from the Karaka of Noiv and Givoin to use it for the offer for the Mei Saita, because Rashi says Noiv and Givoin only had the Kedushas Bama, it was just a Bama Gedaila, and therefore there was no Karbonis Yoch that was brought there. Toisis Tain is that what's the problem? Maybe you could just say this Gemara goes like a Yehuda Shita in the last paragraph of Vachan, the holes that there were Kabbalah Yochid in the Noiv and Givoin, and therefore, consequently, no reason to take out Noiv and Givoin for this Gemara. It's telling you that you could place offer from Karka Noiv and Givoin in the Meisaita. That's Toisis. The Mishnah Melech asks a kasha on this Toisis. He says he believes the Toisis is actually very shver, because he says, although the Toisis does bring down a Behuda Shita, and it's true that the Behuda holds in the last paragraph of Zvachim that a Korban Yochid is Korev in Noiv and Givoin, it's Korev in the Bama Gedoyla. The fact is, however, that's as far far as a regular korban goes, an animal korban, a bird korban, but here we're talking about a mincha, because you have to bring a mincha saita in order to be able to be mashke the saita. It's the mincha saita is a part and parcel of the procedure, and the mincha saita there, that's totally a different diun, whether you brought a mincha in Leuven given, and there he says Rabbi Huda writes, Rabbi Huda himself, who takes his quoting, the Tan Rabbi Huda wants to go with over here, Rabbi Huda himself says in the last parak of Zvachim, that ein mincha bebama. In other words, menocha is special, the flower kabbonis to menocha is specifically, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that they did not bring them in a bama. So Zakte Mishal HaMelech, even though it's true that Toisvis in the last parak of Zvachim does have a shiloh, and Toisvis clears to say in Zvachim, that perhaps I could say that there Rabbi Yehuda, that ein mincha bebama is only talking about bamas yochid, the private backyard bama, when there was a heta bama, it's like a nothing given. But the bamas tzimbur, the central bama, which was located in the Mishkan by Noiv, by the Mishkan and Givon, the central bama maybe was more strong, was starker, and maybe Tosfos once had to say that perhaps the Yehuda would be masking the mincha is korov in the bama gedoyla by Noiv and by Givon. But the true Tosfos says it sounds like that, but that's not Tosfos maskana. Tosfos masik not like that in Masechta Zvachim, and comes out that Yehuda holds that there's never in a mincha in the bama, even in the bama gedoyla. So therefore, since over here you would have to bring a mincha saita, which is a mincha, in order to go through the seder of the Hashkoas HaSaita, so how could Tosfos possibly say that we could solve the problem over here by saying the Sugya goes like a Yehuda who holds that there was a Michas, a Korban Yochid and a Boma, a Korban Yochid and a Boma Gedoyla? It's all very true, perhaps, but it doesn't help anything for the Sugya here, which needs a Minchas Saita. And if Tosfos says, if Yehuda holds a Mincha B'Boma, Mishnah Melech says that he personally thinks he can really defend Tosfos El Chatzad. He really could have learned, perhaps, that in fact, Abihuda does differentiate between Bomas Yochan and Bomas Tzibur, and Abihuda does hold that even though he says Ein Mincha B'Boma, he means the backyard, private Bomas that everyone had. Masha Ein came the Bomas Tzibur, the public Boma. So that Mishnah Melch says that he believes that he could say Abihuda did hold that you offer Menochos on the public Boma. But Tosis, it's fair, because since Tosis holds that there's definitely no offering of any Menochos, Peshas, not even given, even in the Boma Gedayla, how could Tosis over here say that you could defend the Gears of Boma Gedolim? Some Achorinim say that it's Murchach, that Tosis over here is going not like Tosis in Masechta Zvachim. And Tosis over here obviously holds, like this other Tzad in Zvachim, that in fact you could offer a Korban Yochid, even Menachos, in the Boma Gedolim. In the Sefer Emek Halacha, he brings a very interesting raya to this. He says he wants to bring a raya that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Ein Mincha B'Boma, is going to have to agree in the Boma Gedolim that you could bring a Mincha. He says an extremely interesting taina. He says that we know from the Torah's Koyanim, the Sefer, In Parashat Tzav, the Torah speaks about the Minchas Chinuch, which is a kind of inauguration mincha offering that was brought by every Kohen Hedit before he did this first Avodah. This inaugurated him into the ability to do Avodah as a Kohen Hedit. It brings a special mincha called the Minchas Chinuch. And the Kohen Gadol, likewise, when he was appointed to the special higher office of Kohen Gadol, has to bring a special Minchas Chinuch of the Kohen Gadol to be inaugurated into the Kona Gedoyla. The Sifra, the Teres Kainim, says over there in Tzav that if you fail to bring it, it's Mamash Ma'akev. Then, in fact, if Kain Godel is a void of Kain Godel's puzzle, if he fails to bring the Michas Chinuch, and likewise the Kain Hedid, as a void of Kain Hedid is puzzle likewise, if he didn't bring the Michas Chinuch, the Michas Chinuch is Ma'akev. So, frekt of then, the Sefer Emek Halacha, a Moyadig question. He says, Mevezdach, we know that Shaul had the entire Noivir Kainim killed out, and particularly he had killed out Achimelech, who was the Ken Godel at that time. So there was no Ken Godel after the Mishkan moved from Noiv, because unfortunately, Achman Lutzlan, the Noiv Yerakain was killed out, including Achimelech, the Ken Godel. Frekt there, if that's the case, how in the world did they have a Ken Godel during all the time that the Mishkan was located in Givon? Givon was a Boma Gedoyla. And according to Behuda, if you go with the Behuda Shita, there's no Mincha in a Boma, which apparently, according to Tyson's Vacha, means even a Boma Gedoyla. He couldn't offer any Mincha. It's impossible to offer a Mincha. But the Sifra tells us that without a Mincha Schinuch, which is a kind of a Mincha, it's impossible to inaugurate Kainim Hadyoitois and Kainim Gedoylam. So the male Kainim Hadyoitois, you could say maybe there were some old ones, you know, that were around from the past and were somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael. So they got together and they did avoid in Givon. But the Kuna Gedoyla, there was only one Kohen Gadol, and that Achimelech, and he was killed out with the Hariga of Noiv Yerakayanim. So how could they have, where did he have a Kohen Gadol from if he has the imperative? He must have a Mechas Chinuch to inaugurate him as Kohen Gadol, but after he's not a Kohen Gadol, so how do you have a Kohen Gadol during the years when Mishkan wasn't Givon? So there's Mochach from them. Apparently, it seems to be Zokter that, it seems, that it's possible to offer a mincha in the Bama Gedolah, like the other side, the Mishnah Melach, the Zeis over here, and it seems to be that that would be a starker raya, so that there was a way to offer a mincha, in the Bama Gedolah at least. Otherwise, how'd you have a Kohen Gadol all the years the Mishkan was in Givon? How could we possibly defend, though, Zokta Emek Halacha, the other Shita, the Shita of Toysis and Mesech Dezvachim, that holds that, according to Behuda, that Ein Mincha Babama, that means even in a Bama Gedoyla. So where did, how did they get the ability to get the King Godel in Givin? So that, Emek Halacha wants to say a big Chiddush, which Behemoth needs a lot of his boyness, that he wants to taina that if you hold that there was Ein Mincha Babama, then by definition that meant that the King Godel, who wanted to become a King Godel, didn't have any din to bring the Minchas Chinuch in order to inaugurate him. Meila Zokta, if he's becoming a Kohen Gadol at a time, at a shore, when there's a din Minchas Chinuch, so then his inauguration, his Chinuch, comes after Duch, the Minchas Chinuch, and without that it's possible. Masha Ein Kain, since in Neuven given there was no Mincha in Bama Gedoyla, according to Tosis in Masech Tzvachim, come to Chois, there was no din Mincha at that time, so then his inauguration, his Chinuch, could be getan, could be achieved, even without any minchas chinuch, v'ibalt that there was no din mincha at that time. This is a very big chiddush that the Emek Halacha says that needs some hisboininess. The Emek Halacha adds that be'emes he would suggest that there is in fact a raya to this tzad. In other words, the Hainu, a raya that there was really ein mincha b'bama, even in the Bama Gedolah, like Tosis holds in Masech Tzvachim, not like Tosis holds over here, and that in fact, that during the time that whole tkufa of Neuven Givon, v'ibalt that there was no din mincha, there was no din mincha schanech, and it was possible in the schanech to be inaugurated into the kohuna or the kohuna gedolah at that time without a mincha schanech, that the raya he would bring to them is because the psukim that David HaMelech, after the killing of Noivir HaKoyanim, so David HaMelech runs away to the city of Ke'ilah, and he takes with him as Evyosor ben Achimelech HaKoyan Godel. That's what it says. He takes Evyosor, the son of the former Kohen Godel, Evyosor, the son of Achimelech, and he says to Evyosor HaKoyan, Hagisha Ho'efoid, which the Pesukim is Mavur, and the Mefarshim over there explain that he wanted to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. So he said, bring forth the Ephoid, and he wanted to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. Now, this we know, says the Emek Halacha, that Mavoris Sigmaris says very clearly, the whole sugya is in Masechta Yuma, in the 7th Perek, that to ask a question of Urim V'Tumim could only be asked from a Kohen Gadol, and it's the Melubish with the Shmoyne Begadim, and there's a whole say there of how you ask from the Urim V'Tumim when it's placed upon the Kohen Gadol. So come to Chois, that it's Mochrach, that if Yosef has been of a Kohen Gadol at that time. Now, the Kohen Gadol is not automatically inherited. You have to become, you have to be Neschanech to be a Kohen Gadol in order to get the din of a Kohen Gadol. So how did Yosor at that time get the din of a Kohen Gadol? So there, even if you want to tell me that there was Yesh Mincha B'Bama, and maybe the Bama Gedolah moved over to Givon or something, you know, and therefore you could become a Kohen Gadol by bringing a Michas Chinuch in Givon. That's very good, Zokta, but that's not what all what happened over here. Yosor was together with David, and he was running away, and they ran away to Ke'ilah, and there was no way to bring any Michas Chinuch in Ke'ilah, that's for sure, right? So how did Yosor become a Kohen Gadol? And it's Mucha, he did become a Kohen Gadol, because he was apparently, he was wearing the Shmoyne Begadim, and he was Nishal from the Urim V'Tumim. David HaMelech asked a question, Urim V'Tumim, from everyone of Yosef was wearing the Ephod. So how did Yosef become the Kohen Gadol without any Michas Chinuch? The Sefra says, like we said before in Parashas Tzav, that the bringing of the Michas Chinuch is Ma'akiv in becoming Kohen Gadol. So Zotar, according to my Pshat, is very good, because if you hold Ein Mincha B'Bama, and during that Kufa of Noiv given, there was no ability to bring a Michas Chinuch, because they never had more than a Bama Gedolah. So therefore, at that time, there was no Din Michas Chinuch, and you could become the Kohen Gadol afil without a Michas Chinuch. So that's why Yosef automatically became the Kohen Gadol. He put on the Shmoyne Begadim and he became the Kohen Gadol afil without a Michas Chinuch, and that's how David was able to be Shoyel from him. So that's Gora Raya Zokte, that there was no Michas Chinuch. If I were to hold, like it seems to be from Tais over here in Saito, I hold the Mishnah Melech holds, that in fact, even according to Yehuda, there's Ein Mincha B'Bama, who still would say the Bama Gadol didn't have a Din Mincha, so it comes out that it was possible to have a Michas Chinuch at that time to inaugurate the Mechanuch of the Kohen Gadol. So if that's the case, and it's very fair, how did Yosor become in Kohen Gadol on the spot to be the David should be able to show from the Urim V'Tumim with him? It's l'chayre impossible, since Yosor definitely had no opportunity at all to bring the Michas Chinuch. That's the kasha. That's actually a raya zok there against what seems to emerge from our Tosis and from the Mishnah Melech, and in favor of what Tosis holds in Masechta Zvachim, that there was no mincha at all, even in the Bama Gedolah in that kufa of Noiv given. So he concludes that he would say that you have to defend defend the shitas, the Mishnah Melech, the Tais over here, those shitas at whole, that even according to Yehuda, there was a mincha in the Bama Gedayla. So l'chayra, Sveh, had it have Yosam become a king god without the Mechaz Chinuch, l'chayra Mechaz Chinuch is ma'akev according to Sifra. So he says, it must be that Ewa Tais is not going like that. Sifra, he's mefalpal, he brings the Yushalmi, the whole, not like the Sifra, the Yushalmi holds that the bring of the Mechaz Chinuch is not ma'akev the king god. And you could have an Chinuch, an inauguration of the king god, leaving out the Mechaz Chinuch, and may have Yosam, Chachi definitely had no opportunity at that time to bring the Mechaz Chinuch when he was in Ke'ilah, Afal Pikain, there was no Yechoilas, and in Mele, he became in good Gadol automatically without the Mechaz Chinuch. In other words, that our Toysis, which holds that there was a Yechoilas, the Etzem, at that time of Noivin given to have a Mechaz Chinuch, because he holds there was a Mechaz Boma Gadol, our Toysis will have to hold that the Mechaz Chinuch is not Ma'akiv, and since Evyosa had no way to bring the Mechaz Chinuch at that time, he was running away with David, so consequently, he got a din of a Kuna Gadol, a Kain Gadol, even without the Mechaz Chinuch. In the next Gemara, the Gemara clears a shaila. It's a little bit of a long sugya. The Gemara says, "Yiboy lohu ein sham eith ofor ma'u sheyitein eifer." So you're supposed to put ofor into the mayim. What happens if you don't have any ofor? Is it possible to substitute ash eifer instead of dust? Maybe that would also be equivalent and sufficient to consider to be the ofor of the pasuk to put in ash. The Gemara goes through a pilpul back and forth. Later on, the Amud Beis, the Gemara tries to poishate this shaila from that which is Rav is quoted, a member in the name of Rav, that it says that Rav said that ain't some offer maybe rakvuvis yorok or makadesh, that if you don't have any offer, so you could in fact bring rakvuvis yorok, which is decayed vegetable matter, a decay of decomposed vegetables, that rakvuvis yorok, and that would be sufficient. That's equivalent to be the equivalent of offer. And at that point in the Gemara is pastus nemigon, that rakvuvis yorok is not mamish offer. It's a sort of the substitute equivalent. So Melo, if that could be good enough, then afer ash could perhaps be good enough as well. That's the Gemara's suggestion, the way we have the Girsa. The Gemara, we have the Girsa, which is the Tosa Rosh defends his Girsa. Velohi, it's not a correct sushtel from Yakvuvis Yorok, decomposed Yorok vegetable to Eifer. Velohi, it's not a correct sushtel, a parallel, because Yakvuvis Yorok, who the Havoi offer, but Eifer, loy Havoi offer. Only Yakvuvis Yorok, decayed vegetable, is considered to be offer, but Eifer is not considered to be offer. The Gemara does not say Beferish, what is the exact distinction between Yakvuvis Yorok and Eifer? What's the difference exactly? Neither of them is mamashe offer l'chayra. I mean, and rakvuvis yorok is substitute for the offer. Eifer, despite that, the Gemara suggests cannot. What exactly is the chiluk over here in the Gemara? The Sefer Dvar Shol on Masechta Soita has a bit of an arichos on this sugya, and he has actually more than one sad how exactly to explain the Shach of Atariya. And Dvar Shol explains that in reality, our sugya is miyusid, it's built on a similar sugya, or a parallel sugya anyway, in Masechta Chulon and Daf Peiches, which discusses the mitzvah of Kisei Hadam. The Pasuk says that when you shech the bird or a chaya, so it says that v'shofach es domoy v'chisoho ba'ofer. And over there, the Gemara notes that the Kunt Pshuta Shemikra, it would appear that the only thing it could possibly use is offer, just earth and nothing else. However, the Gemara there goes through a system of drashos, and it ends up being marbe, that not only earth, dafka offer, but even any substance which is megadel tzmochem, anything which could grow vegetables in it, like for example, zevel hatak, fine zevel, and the like, these things could grow tzmochem, and therefore, they also misrabe, they're also included, and they have a din like offer. What about using ash? Which be'etzem ash, afer is not megadel tzmochem, and therefore, according to the regular rules, we ought to have said that ash will be insufficient to megadol smochim. So the answer to that is actually given, it's alluded to actually by the Gemara and Rashi over here, and the Gemara over there in Cholon goes into it. The answer is, according to the halacha we pass like Beis Hill, the answer is that you could use ash, and it's based upon a special gilui hakro, a special pasuk, even though it's not megadol smochim. Afal pikein, we have the pasuk of may afar sreifas hachatos in the beginning of Parashas Chukas, that speaks about the offer of the burning of the chatos. In reality, it's called offer, but of course it was really ash. So Eifer is koroi offer in the Lashon HaPosik, and Beis Hill uses that, they extrapolate, they learn from there that just like Benegeya 2 in the Posik of Afaris Reifas Achatas, we find that ash is called offer. Likewise, for Kisei Adam, we also would be able to use ash as well, and it'd be qualified as offer. As the Gemara and Rashi over here note, that's only Beis Hillel Shita. Beis Shammai disagrees with this. Beis Shammai hold that afar sreifas mikri, afar stamaloi mikri, right? That ash is not called a regular offer. It's only called afar sreifas, which is something else. The afar of the burning of the chatas, it's not called offer stama, and therefore Beis Shammai Shita is that we don't learn to kisei hadam, that you'll be able to use ash to cover the kisei hadam. That is as far as the Gemara in Masechta Chulin goes. Now, the Gemara over here actually discusses a possible tzustel to learn from the Gemara in Masechta Chulin to the sugya over here in Saita. We're discussing the May Saita to put the offer into. And the Gemara says, well, according to Beis Shammai, I don't even have a Shaila, because Beis Shammai hold that even Benegeah to the Kisei Hadam, I'm not able to utilize Afer, and certainly over here. But according to Beis Hillel, I do have a Shaila. Beis Hillel do, in fact, hold that you could use ash for the Kisei Hadam, because they hold Matsinu Afer Shakore offer. But perhaps over here, the conditions are more narrowly defined, like it says in the Sugi here in Amid Aleph, because here it says Bekarka HaMishkan Ksiv, and therefore it's more narrow defined limitations upon the qualifications what you need. It has to be that which is Karka HaMishkan, that's not ash. And mainly therefore we have a suggestion that even though Beis Hillel holds Benegeah to Kisei Hadam, that Afer is sufficient, it's called offer and it qualifies, Afal Pikein, it's not called offer of the Karka HaMishkan for our Sugi's purpose, and you cannot use it for the May Soita. That's the Shiloh in our Gemara, as the Gemara explains on the Amid Aleph. Zokta Dvar Shol, so he says that he has a fundamental question about understanding the shak of Atayah of this Gemara. When the Gemara over here clears to say that just like Afer is usable, according to Beis Hillel, for the Kisei Hadam, and it's called Ofer for that purpose, so likewise it could also be called Ofer, maybe, for the purpose of the Mei Soita. When the Gemara is clearing to say that, does it also mean to extrapolate, to learn out, all the other things that are Magadil Tzemochim that it speaks of in Masechta Chulin for the purpose of Kisei Hadam? Like, for example, could use Zevel Hadak, for example, fine Zevel, which is Magadil Tzemochim, and you're allowed to use for Kisei Hadam, the Zevel Hadak, could you use that for the purpose of the Mei Soita as well? Maybe, Zokta Dvar Shol, that is Nicha in the Gemara Shaila. Even though the Gemara does not mention that it's asking about anything more than Afer, perhaps the Gemara is really asking a broad question. Everything that's not Ofer Mamish, and that's Nisrabe, it's included in the Pasuk for Kisei Adam, maybe I have to declare that it should automatically be extrapolated and also have a din of Ofer with regard to the Mei Soita, or maybe not, because Karka HaMishkan is a more limiting kind of an expression. So we're clearing, we're mentioning the clear about Afer, but it also includes Zevel Hadak and the other things that are Megadol Tzmochem. It mentions Afer, Zokta, because that perhaps is the biggest Chiddush, since Afer is not even Megadol Tzmochem, it's just sort of automatically included by virtue of being called that. Afaras Reifas Hachata, it's called Ofer. But we mean to include all the Megadol Tzmochems as well. He says, if that's the Shiloh of the Gemara that we're clearing about both Afer and everything that's Zevel and other things that are Megadol Tzmochem, if that's how you understand the Shiloh, then we get to the Amid Beis, and the Gemara tries to approach it from Rav. And Rav said that we could even, you don't have offer, you could bring rachvuvis yorok, decomposed yerek, vegetables, and makadish, and put that into the water and use it for the meisoita. And the Gemara, according to the gears that we have, the Gemara says that I'm going to assume that I could extrapolate from there as well to the afer. I could use rachvuvis yorok, I could also use afer. So the Gemara velohi, you could differentiate between the two. Zokta Dvar Shol, that actually what the Gemara is saying over here is that you do find in the statement of Rav that rachvuvis yorok is good, which means, Zokta, that half the battle is won. We figured out now that we could extrapolate from Kisei Hadam to Mei Soita, at least insofar as the other materials that are Megadol Tzmochem. Ravuv is Yorok decomposes, it has a lot of nutrients, and it's truly Megadol Tzmochem. Ofer Mamech is not L'choyer Zokter, but maybe it has its nutrient rich in Megadol Tzmochem, and therefore I figured out that I could make the Tzuchtel. I could extrapolate from the Kisei Hadam in Mesechta Chulin to the Mei Soita and Mesechta Soita as far as substances that are non-Ofer, but the Megadol Tzmochem. The Gemara thought that just like I'm going to extrapolate Benegeah to the Megadol Tzmochem substances, like the Rakhvuvis Yorok, like the Zevel Hadak, and etc., the other things, so maybe I could assume that I could also extrapolate Benegeah to Afer as well. Now, then, so the Gemara, that you can't assume that because Rakhvuvis Yorok and these other things that are Megadol Tzmochem are more comparable to Ofer, and therefore they grow things just like Ofer does, they're more likely to be included in the Shem Ofer, and Mela, it could be that Afer Ash, which is not Megadol Tzmochem, perhaps Esh is going to be excluded even after I determine that Agvuvas Yerek is included. That's one way to learn the Gemara. Again, according to this side of the Gemara, Zot HaDevar Shol, we had a Shiloh about both Chedushim of Kisei Hadam, that you could include non-offer, which is Megadol Tzmochem, like Zevel Hadak and the like. We had a Shiloh about Efer as well. We decided that one of those Chedushim is correct, and the other one we left unresolved. We did decide that the Megadol Tzmochem things are included. Like Rav said, you could use Agvuvas Yerek. We did not determine that Efer is acceptable. That's the one way to learn. However, Zokt of them, the Dvar Shol, it's quite possible you could learn totally differently. It's possible that the Gemara didn't mention anything about Megadol Tzmochem because it knew that, in fact, I'm not going to just wantonly be married by all kinds of things for the purpose of Mei Soita. Mei Soita definitely has narrower delineations and it needs Karaka Mishkan type substances. They're more likely to need offer Mamish. And therefore, consequently, we knew that we were not going to be married by that which is Megadol Tzmochem, and like Zevel Adak, and that's why it's not even mentioned in the Gemara as a Shail over here at all. The only thing that we're claiming to Imarbe, according to this second side of the Dvar Shol, is Efer, and only Efer, because Efer is labeled with the label of offer in the Torah. Afaris Reif Asachatos, the Torah refers to it as offer. Beis Shammai doesn't chapas pilot because they say Afaris Reif Asachatos is different from regular offer. Beis Hill disagrees. We go with Beis Hill, and we hold that the Afaris Reif as a Gilui, it's called offer. Once I have the Gilui, okay, so it's Mamish a labeled offer. It's not Stam that it's similar to offer, that it grows things. It has a Shem offer Mamish. Once the Torah calls it offer, it refers to Efer Ash as offer. So that was the Gemara's specific Shaila here, specifically about Efer specifically, and we never even cleared, according to this other side of the Dvar Shol, never cleared to include the Gidl Smochem entities, only meant to include Efer alone. Of them, the Gemara brings an obeys that what do you mean? Rav said that you could use Rakvuvis Yorok for the purpose of the decomposed vegetable matter. You could use that for the purpose of the Mei Soito, which apparently it seems that your whole assumption was wrong, and we do marbe all kinds of things. Anything that's good for Kisei Adam, even other substances that are Megadol Tzmochem, we could marbe them all into Mei Soito, and apparently we could marbe even non-Efer things, even Rakvuvis Yorok, and we should be marbe for Efer as well. That's what Gemara suggested. The Gemara says no. According to this, Rakvuvis Yorok is distinct. So he declares that according to this tzad, what the Gemara is saying is that Rakvuvis Yorok, decomposed vegetables, are better than Zevel Hadak, better than other things that are Megadol Tzmochem, because Rakvuvis Yorok, the decomposed vegetable matter, actually decomposes into Ofer Mamish. You let it decompose and to finish decomposing and turns into Ofer Mamish. What else is Ofer? Decomposed matters, nutrient-type matters. So Meila Zok there, the Maskona of the Gemara is that Rakvuvis Yorok could have a Shem Ofer Mamish, not just that it's Megadol Tzmochem and is able to be included in the sugi and chulin for Kisei Adam. It's offer mamish. That's what the Gemara wants to come out. So the Gemara says on that you can't settle the question and you can't prove from there that you could utilize Efer. You can't prove you could do anything other than offer mamish. And in fact, Ravuvas Yorok is offer mamish. I saw in the Sefer Ezel Makoimon, a contemporary Likud Sefer on Soito, that he brings down the name of Chaim Palagi, one of the Gedolei HaSfaradim, one of the great Achronim of the Sfaradim, that he names on that Lefi HaEmes, for Hashkoas Mei Soito, even if you're using Ofer Mamish, it will be unacceptable if it's not Megadol Tzmochem. Like, for example, I take sand out of a desert, out of a Midbar, Choyl HaMidbar, and that would not be acceptable for the Mei Soito, because you need Ofer, which is Megadol Tzmochem. That's what he understands. It's obviously a chiddush. Now, the Gemara actually has a tzad and one side to say that Efer is good. Efer is not Megadol Tzmochem. But perhaps he means when the Maskonas of Gemara we come out that Efer is apparently not good, Ash is no good, and Meiluhu had in any offer, which is not Megadol Tzmochem, Reb Chaim Palagi says is not good. And based on that, Reb Chaim Palagi asks a question, then how could it be that they were Mashka the Soitois in the Midbar, given the fact that in the Midbar, that they were 40 years in the desert, they were located in a desert, and the Karka HaMishkan was all desert sand, it was all Chol HaMidbar, it wasn't able to Megadol Tzmochem, there's no nutrients, it's dry desert sand. So how could it be that they were possibly Mashka the Soitois during all the 40 years in the Dor HaMidbar? Now I actually looked up the Sefer, I tracked it down, within the Sefer Chaim V'Melech of Rav Chaim Palagi. Now, but there, Rav Chaim Palagi tainas there to say, maybe you'll tell me, Zokta, that Enchanami. So for 40 years in the Midbar, they weren't Mashke the Mei Soitis, it was impossible because there was no true offer, no offer that was Megadol Tzmochem, because they were in a desert. it. He said that's impossible because the Gemara says in Masechta Moed Katan on Daf Yud Ches, Vayekanu Lamoisha Bamachane, that's a pasuk in Tilim, Vayekanu Lamoisha Bamachane, Malamed, Shekol Echod Echod Kine Es Ishtoi Mimoisha. The Gemara says that each person, it's a very, very difficult Gemara by the Shveri Gemara, that each person, a difficult Agadita, each person was warned his wife from Moshe Rabbeinu, he made a kinoi, said like a stiro, kinoi, a stiro, and if he warned his wife from Moshe, the Zetzachoi said it's apparent, Dr. Chaim Palagi, that there really was in fact, there was a methodology, a process for doing the Hashkos Meisoit in the Midbar. And how could you do that, Zokter, if it was desert sand? See, he's Madchik, he suggests a big Doichik, that maybe when the Yidden were there, so perhaps there was a lot of humidity and the people had an effect on it, and it maybe became nutrient rich in some way, and perhaps therefore was able to grow things during the time the Yidden were there. That's what Chaim Palagi suggests. Now, to get off into this whole agarata of Vayekanu Lamoisha Bamachne right now is not practical. I'm thinking that maybe to the Maram Koimois that are attached to this shir, maybe I'll copy and paste the Maharal, the Gvuras Hashem, where he speaks about that Gemara. The Maharal space says quite strongly that the Gemara is not Kipshutoi and it has nothing to do with an actual Meisoita. The whole Gemara is really Tamua. What is going on over there? The Maharal has a whole agarata pshat over there, which perhaps I'll attach to the Maram Koimois. But what I want to point out is, the Maharal says it's not Kipshutai. But let's say we're going to learn it Kipshutai, and the people warned their wife, they were very jealous, and they warned their wife from Moshe Rabbeinu. Saying, but that's a raya, in other words, that they were actually mashke, there was actually Ashkos Meisoita. What's the raya? I mean, nobody's going to suggest that there was an actual Yichud Chas V'Chalila between the wives and Moshe Rabbeinu, and that there was an actual Ashkos Meisoita. Now, Philip, if the first step took place, it was a kinoi that took place, it doesn't mean that there was an actual Ashkos, and the kinoi would be negayev, there would be a stira, she would become Osir, whatever, but not that there was an actual Ashkos Meisoita. So it's hard to see exactly what Chaim Palagi wanted when he brings it down from this Gemara Masechta Meir Cotton. Moreover, what's really a big horror on him Bechlau is that rather than trying to matchik to find the teretz to his question whether there was Ashkos Meisoita in the years in the Midbar, even if we'll accept his assumption that you have to have an offer that's Megadol Smochim in order to have Ashkos Meisoita, and the emes is that there's a Yalkut Shemoini in Parashas Chukas that says clear Mamash Beferish by the Shiras of Be'er, the Yalkut Shemoini says very clearly that the Be'er Shemiriam caused a tremendous amount of water, and it caused the Lashon of Yalkut Shemoini over there that it was the Mayim was Yoitzim and Makif and Oison, the water would surround them all over. Umegadlin Mini Deshoim, Ilonois, Shein Lehem Soif. It caused all kinds of foliage and trees, Shein Lehem Soif. So, remember the whole Kasha Duchsuf that it finds in the stone. It's very hard to understand what the Kasha is at all. When the Yidden were in the Midbar, it's not like they were in some kind of sandy area which was arid and everything. Fakir, the Be'er Shemiriam caused all kinds of fertility and growth, and like Mavur Befeish, like that in the Medish. So, Mayil Duchsuf that the whole question doesn't even start, and that the offer of the Karaka Mishkan didn't look like this arid desert dry sand. Towards the end of the daf, the Gemara brings down the big machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbonon, benegeah to the din of the Tzipore Metzoira, which is discussed in the beginning of Parshas Metzoira. So it says over there that you shecht the Tzipore into the Mayim Chayim, and then you dip the other bird together with the Eitz Erez Eizoif Shnitaloas, you dip it the Tovel Oisam Bedam Hatzipor Hashechuta Al HaMayim HaChayim. So you toivel them in the Dam Hatzipor Hashechuta and the Mayim Chayim. So Rabbi Shmuel Shita is that there's a Yisra Haloshin, the superfluous, this expression. We know we're talking about the Dam and the Mayim, and therefore consequently, he uses this pasuk to tell you a special chidush of Nikar that you have to have that the blood is a sufficient proportion relative to the amount of the water that the blood of the tzipor is nicker, is noticeable and visible in the water. So that's why he limits the amount of the water. You have to have a revius of mayim chayim, a revius of well water, not more. And that way, the quantity of blood that's in the bird, in the tzipor, is able to be nicker, it's noticeable in the water. The Rabbanan do not have the yithor haloshain, like the Gemara explains. They hold that the words are not superfluous, and therefore, they do not make this special drasha, so they hold that I could have more water, and I don't have this limitation in the proportions, so that I have to have a sufficient portion of blood that it should be noticeable in the water. The banan don't require nicker. Now, Taisus over here points out, he has a kasha from Ilchas Bittel, he notes that kipshutoi, it would seem offhand to Imashma that as long as there's more water than blood, then the water is mevatel, the blood, and it's not called that you dip the tzipor and the etzes, etc. It's not called that you dip them in the blood because they have more water than blood than the amount of blood ought to be bottle. Taisus supports this by showing you that in Masechta Zvachim, there's a whole discussion of mixing together the dampar and the damsoir in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol mixes together the blood of the soyer and the blood of the par. He mixes them, and there's a whole discussion why it's called that he does the Matona Isdam or the Mizbeach HaPnimi. He does them with the Dam HaSoyer and the Dam HaPar. Why is it called Dam Soyer and Dam Par? Either the Dam HaSoyer L'Choyer ought to be bottled. The Gemara discusses the Kasha, and the Gemara comes out that there's a special for of Yehuda learns from the Mimbamina is not bottled. A whole sug over there at Mimbamina over there, and therefore not bottled. Being it as it may, the Gemara has a whole discussion to explain over there why the Dam Soyer, which is lesser than the amount of the bull blood, the Dam Par, why it doesn't become bottled. The fact is over here, obviously it's not Mimbaminoi, the dam and the water, and the blood of the Tzipor is less, so therefore the Chayra, why shouldn't I say that the blood of the Tzipor is bottled in the water? Emphatosis, V'yashloima kivan de mamashu soy nikar harehu be'en. In other words, over here, the blood is visible in the water, it's substantively visible, mamashu soy nikar, visible in the water, so therefore it has a din of be'en, and consequently there's no bittul, because it's nikar in the water, so it's be'en, and it's not bottled. That's the Tosis Teretz. So Bekiv Eger over here has the Tosis very schwer, and he has two kashas on Tosis. First of all, reflected Bekiv Eger, that, L'chayra, if that's the Teretz, then you're leaving the Rabbanon up the creek. Because Meilor, the Bishmol holds that the Mamoshus of the blood is nicker, because he has to have a quantity, a sizable quantity of blood relative to the amount of water. That's a Bishmol Shita, but the Rabbanon disagree. Right? The Rabbanon hold that you could have much more water, and the amount of the blood doesn't have to be nicker. And Afal Pi Kein, they have to somehow fulfill the Pasuk. I mean, the Pasuk says clearly, the Tavol Oysam, the Dam Tzipa Shchuto, the Mayim Achayim. I mean, what are you going to say? That the Pasuk is not fulfilled at all according to Rabbanon? How is that called being Tavol and the Dam Tzipa Shchuto according to Rabbanon, if they hold, if according to them, you could have a lot of water, the Dam of the Tzipa is not nicker, and therefore the Chayra is totally bottled, and it wouldn't be called Dam Tzipa at all? That's Rikvega's first cash. How did Rabbanon answer Tosis's cash? Second question, that even if Shmuel, the Tosis is saying Shmuel does work, because he requires that the Dam of the Tzipa should be nicker in the water, and therefore it's not bottled. But if so, that ought to be self-evident and a given, and should not need a special pasuk. Because you're telling me that if it wouldn't be that the dam is a sufficient proportion that it's nicker in the water, it'll be bottle mamish, and therefore it's not called being tevel on the dam. If that's the case, I don't need a special drosha to tell me that you have to have a lot of dam tzipa relative to the water and to make it nicker. It's obvious, it's self-evident for the pasuk itself. Otherwise, where is the tevel in the dam tzipa? The dam tzipa is bottle. Alamaisa, the Gemara doesn't say like that over here for the Vega, because the Gemara needs a special drosha from the Yisra Halosha, but he also be superfluous words in the pasuk that there Rabbi Shmuel learns out. I have to have a large amount of dam relative to the water, an amount that's nicker. Why, even according to Shmuel is fair, since he needed a special pasuk, which is mashma, if not for the special pasuk, he would have said it's sufficient to have a very small proportion of blood that's bottled, it's not noticeable in the water. And how would he have explained the loshen pasuk that you toivel in the dam tzipper and the mayim chayim? The Brisker Rav in his Sefer on Rambam answers these kashas of Rabbi Kiva Eger with a somewhat subtle teretz. We'll try to say it over concisely, but hopefully clearly. The Brisker Rav explains like this. He says in the sugya in Masechta Yumo, which discusses the avodas hadam, the matonas hadam of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis Hamikdash, it's absolutely clear that the Kohen Gadol has to do a matona to the dam par and to the dam soyer, and it has to be labeled. Matona has to be labeled the matona of dam par and of dam soyer. If the dam soyer is going to be bottle, and therefore it's only labeled the matona of dam par, is definitely not acceptable because I didn't do a matona of the dam soyer. That's for sure. That's why the Gemara of the day has to explain special sforas why it's not bottle, and the Behuda it says mivamino, and the banana comes up with another teretz. Zok the Brisker Rav though, and the pasuk over here in the beginning of Parshas Metzora, we have to analyze carefully the pasukim. First, the pasuk says v'shochat es hatzipor ha'echos el kali cheres al mayim chaim. So first, the pasuk says you take one of the tzipors, you shecht it into a kli cheres or into the mayim chaim. So the tzipor is shechted into the mayim chaim. Then, subsequently, the next pasuk talks about you take the tzipor achaya, the living bird, together with the eitz eres hezev and the shnei talos, together with the under bundle of hyssop and the other things, and v'tavel oisam, etc. B'dam atzipor ashchuta al mayim chaim. So you toivel it into this mix. So that's the Brisker Rav, the fundamental hakira, the fundamental question that underlies our Gemara, that he holds in reality that the Bishmoel and the Rabbanon are actually disagreeing about, is what zok there, is that the fundamental question is this. When we say that I have to have Dam Tzipor and I have to have Mayim Chayim, is that really a requisite condition in the Shechita, as the first pasuk delineates? V'shachat It has to be that the blood of the shchuta is going into the mayim chayim. That blood creates a composite product, right? It's it's water which is intermixed with blood. And now the composite product, I take it, that blood that has had that water that had the blood shechted into it, and now I take it, I dip the tzipor, the ezav, etc., dip it into it and spritz. So at the brisket rov, it could be that it does not have to be a shem dam on that water that's in the klicheres b'shas, and I'm doing the tevila, the dipping of the eight areas, the ezav, and the shnita laws. And maybe I don't need to have a shem dam at that point. What I need to have is that it's the water which is a product of the shchitas dam tzipor into it, like the pasuk earlier spoke of. As long as I went through that process of the shchitas dam tzipor into the water, and this water is a product of that process, that's sufficient. I'm now toivel the eight areas, etc., into it, and I spritz. As what the pasuk speaks of in terms of the dam tzipor over here, it might be zot the brisket rov that it suffices that it had a shem dam tzipor b'shas the shchita. So I shechted the dam into the mayim chayim, and from that product I now dip the eight areas, etc., and I spritz. Or zot the brisket rov, it could be that it's insufficient that it had a shem dam b'shas when I shechted it into the water. It has to have a shem dam even in the second step b'shas the tevila of the tzipor achayim and the eight areas and the ezav into it. And that time also I need to have an active label of not just mayim but also of dam. That's the fundamental question, Zokter, between Rabbi Shmuel and the Rabbanon in our Gemara. The Rabbanon don't have any special Yisra HaKro, so they hold that the necessity to label, to have a label, to have a Shem Dam in this sugya is sufficient that it had a label of Dam B'Shas, it was being shechted into the water, and I saw the Dam going into the water. That labeling it as Dam that went into the water. The question of whether later on it still retains the Shem Dam, or it's bottled, so therefore it's called nothing but admixturized water, so to speak, you know, but it doesn't have an independent label of Dam at that point. That question is irrelevant according to the Rabbanon. I don't need to clear it because I fulfilled my pasuk by having dam shchuta go into the water, and b'shas the shchinta was dam shchuta that went into the water. Later, I don't clear whether it has a label of dam. I just take the product, whatever the product is going to be labeled, dip the tzipor achayah, the eitzer, the eitzer into it and spritz. Mashen kinei b'shmol who has a yisra hakro, so he holds that it's insufficient that it was labeled dam just b'shas the shchinta into the water. He asked if it can have it continued to be labeled dam even later on b'shas the ma'isa tvila. So it has to be labeled dam, not just b'shas the ma'isa shchita in accordance with the earlier pasuk, but it also has to be labeled dam according with the b'shas the ma'isa tevil in accordance with the later pasuk too. That's the shiloh. That's why if Shmuel is going to hold like Tosfos says, I have to have it actively labeled dam even at the tevila moment, which means it has to be a sizable amount of dam so it's nicker in the mayim. Whereas the Rabbanon who hold it doesn't have to be actively labeled dam at the tevila moment. It suffices that it was generated. This is water that was a special enhanced admixturized water that was generated durch a ma'isa shchita of dam into the water that took place earlier, and that suffices to be called a dam went into the water. It doesn't have to be labeled dam actively lefi the Rabbanon peshas the tevila. And therefore, according to them, I don't have to have dam that's nicker in the water. And for infants, not the brisket rov, Vegas kasha, because Vegas' question was that the water is, the dam is bottled in the water, according to Rabbanon. The answer is the dam doesn't need to have a label of being dam, according to Rabbanon, b'shas tevila. It only has to have had a label of being dam, b'shas the shchita went into the water, and that water is now called the product of the shchita into it, and consequently, it'd be able to be yoytzer the tevila by being toivel it.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.